stand my ground.
My God's never failed me yet, so I'm gonna stand my ground.
No matter what comes.
Yet, so I'm gonna stand my ground.
No matter what comes,
no matter what comes my way.
Somebody say hallelujah anyhow. I want you to think about the most difficult area in your life right now. And I want you to say hallelujah anyhow. I want you to look at the worst situation that's in your week to come. And I want you to say hallelujah anyhow. Praise God. Let's clap our hands, lift a voice, give praise and thanks unto God. Oh, isn't he good? Oh, isn't he good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's great tonight to be a part of the Church of the Living God, part of the kingdom that never knows an end. There is no end to the increase of his government and peace. It was built to grow in you, grow in a city, grow in your family. And it is so awesome to be a part of something that gets better and better, richer and deeper, and just more profound as we go. I'm excited about all these young families that are having revival in the nursery. And it is, if you're out there on your own, perhaps a scary day to be bringing children into the world. But if you know the name that is above every name, and if you're full of what God has birthed into this earth, it's a great day to be alive in the kingdom and a great day to be bringing children into the house of God. Praise God. And these babies catch on real early. And they have already been in worship services for 9 months before they ever hit the deck. Praise God. So they are geared to be Pentecostal. We started this morning in a study of Psalms 97. And we'll touch a few verses here to begin. And then we'll work on this 97th Psalm some more. Psalms 97 verses 1, 8, and 11. Verse 1, would you say, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Praise God. And down to verse 8. Zion heard, would you say that? And was glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoiced. Because of thy judgments, O Lord. And down in verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous. And gladness for the upright in heart. Praise God. You can be seated and let's give him praise for his word tonight. That is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you, Lord God, and lift you up. Thank you for your word, for the privilege of handling it in this house tonight. Praise God. What an awesome God. What a blessing it is that he has such mercies for us and has come to find us where we are. And he's so gentle and so good and so forgiving, and we are blessed people to know him. This first verse just nails down the fact God is in control. We dealt with that this morning. God is in control, so be glad and rejoice. And that is a mandate, and it is an assertive, it is an imperative. It means exercise your will and get glad. I can't go back and recreate this morning for you, but the word of God says, and David is the speaker, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Before you ever know what the condition of the day is going to be, it's simply a statement of faith, and the just shall live by faith. If you're going to walk in God, you've got to walk by faith, and faith says it's going to be a great day. And faith says God is in control. And faith says God's bigger than my trouble, bigger than my mountain. Praise God. Everybody shout, the Lord reigneth. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's in control, rejoice and be glad. Now, about half of you could say, but you don't know what I'm going through, and you don't know what my early life was like, and you don't know the pain I've experienced, and you can't tell what it's been like for me, and I'm doing good to be here in the house. Don't push your luck and tell me to be glad about it. But it's not us telling you. It's the word of God telling you. God is in control. Exercise your will and rejoice. And if you'll do that, if you will receive and embrace and make your own or take ownership of the fact that God is in control, that God reigns. And then you'll let that be a fuel to fuel excitement in your life, and you'll begin to rejoice in the kingdom of God. Then you will be glad. And gladness is something that's an interesting passage there in verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous. You picture sowing as something someone does with seed. A farmer sows seed. But the word of God says God sows light and he sows gladness. I'm telling you, when you come into the kingdom of God, in the presence of God, where there was darkness before, God will sow light into your heart, into your mind, into your family, into your relationships. You may have walked under a cloud of depression, but that's not the will of God. The will of God is for you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm reading from the book tonight. Don't tell me about the crushing weight of life. Let me tell you about the redemptive lift of God. Don't tell me about the pain in your past. Let me tell you about the healing power of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me about the bad beginning you've had, because no matter how bad the beginning, it only will matter how you finish. What's going to matter is how you cross the finish line. Praise God. God's reigning. Rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Now, Israel blew it in a lot of ways, but Deuteronomy 28 is that great, powerful passage where all the promises of God, the blessings of God, are being pronounced upon Israel. And that is the first third of that chapter. And then the second two-thirds of that chapter begin with, but if you do not obey, and if you don't walk after my statutes and my commandments, and then he begins to give them the curses that come down upon those that will not walk after the word of God. And he's not threatening them, he's just telling them. It's good to walk with God. It's good to walk under his canopy of anointing and power. Praise God. But Deuteronomy 28:47, at the end of the curses, he says, because you did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart. He said, you blew it. If you don't do this, it will be because something has replaced your joy. And something has overwhelmed your gladness of heart. And I'll just tell you, you can't do this right without joy. And I'm just telling you, you can't do this right and be sad sack. You can't do this right and be singing Onward Christian Soldiers and be the most miserable person. Well, bless God, he said you had to take up your cross, and every day is a cross. Now, I'm not going to argue theology with you on that. I understand what that means, and we're not going to have a theological debate about that. But I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and Israel blew it because they did not walk with gladness of heart and joy. You got to get on the winning side of this thing. You got to find a place where joy is yours. Where you can wake up in the morning and say, I don't care what kind of day it's going to be. It's going to be the day that God made, and I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be glad in it. Freak the people out on your job. And walk in and say, what a great day. Love the pollution of this city. Makes the trees grow. And it really does, you know. Praise God. Praise God. I hadn't thought about this in a long time. Sister Corey made me think about this. She's sitting with her mom tonight, I imagine. And pray for Sister Jewel. She's been in the hospital for over a month now. But when she first got there, and this thing's still hanging around, Sister Corey got her a big old balloon with a yellow announcement on it that said, don't worry, be happy. And I mean, the whole hall is full of people. They're laying there with stuff sticking out of them all over, and needles and sickness. And Sister Corey, how are you, Sister Corey? Wonderful. And she is always. Doesn't matter what's going on. You know? And you hit that balloon, and it starts singing to you. And it sings, don't worry, be happy. Now, let me tell you something. I've been there. And the reason those guys don't worry and they be happy is because as soon as you step on that island, you see that their state flag or their national flag is a marijuana leaf. And there's a haze over the whole island. And nobody's worried. And everybody's happy. And they're trying to sell you everything as soon as you walk on shore. And that's the world's response. Here, let me sedate your mind, your natural instincts for fear and for flight. Here, let me put at ease the turmoil in your spirit. And the world tries to do that with distractions, multiple sexual partners, all kinds of perversion, and bar rooms and crack houses and cocaine and heroin and all that. But none of that lasts. Now, I want everybody with personal experience in any or all or some of those areas, I want you to say amen. Praise God. Praise God. God has delivered us from a lot of things. And we can tell you that bar room is pathetic when they turn on the lights in there. That bar room is full of puke and vermin. And the reason they have the lights down low is so you can't see how people really look in there. Everybody's beautiful in the dark in that bar room. But friend, you turn on the light, they'll be scurrying like roaches out of there with the roaches. Praise God. And they're trying to tell you, don't worry, just it'll be all right. Have a little of this, snort a little of that, shoot a little of this. It'll be okay. I'm just telling you, we talked about it this morning. I won't go back and recreate the whole thing, but you can't do this the way the world does it, and you can't have victory on a part-time basis. You'll crash and burn, and when you wake up in the morning, it'll be worse than it was when you started. But we're talking about a God tonight that wants to rule and reign over every difficult area in your life, and in his power you can rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the psalmist said in Psalms 4 and 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart. I want everybody with the Holy Ghost to say, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Praise God. Psalms 30 and 11, the psalmist says, you've taken away my sackcloth and girded me or clothed me with gladness. I want everybody that's been redeemed by the blood and filled with the Spirit to say, he has clothed me with gladness. Have you read where the Word of God says, don't resist the Holy Ghost. Don't be stubborn against the Holy Ghost. Quench not the Spirit of God. I want you to know tonight that happiness is built into the Holy Ghost. It's built into this Word of God experience. And if you're not happy and you're not full of joy tonight, you're resisting the Holy Ghost. You've got to resist the Word of God. Because if you let the Word of God in there, the Word of God says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I've got a promise from my Jesus. It'll be all right. I know without a doubt, he's going to bring me out. I've got a promise. Well, praise God. That's what the Word of God says. Give somebody a high five and say, I'm planning on being glad. Come on, give somebody else a high five and say, I've got victory down in me, and I'm going to let it have its way. No, did you hear that? I'm telling you, you've already got everything that you need. You already have that Holy Ghost. You've already got the name above every name. You've already got the blood. What you need to do is let God have his way. The place where that moves into the real is the place where you realize that God reigns. That is a fact. But God has to reign in my life and in my heart and in my will and the function of my will. I've got to let God reign in my... That's what the whole business means about Jesus is Lord. If you say Jesus is Lord, and you're disobedient in your life to the word of God, all you're doing is mouthing words that you heard from somebody else. When you say he's Lord, that means he's sovereign in your life. That means he's got control in your life. He can tell you when to get up and when to go to bed and what to eat and what to wear and where to go and where not to go, how to live, how to behave, and what it all means. That's when he's Lord in your life. And if you've got areas in your life you hadn't turned over to him, he's not Lord. And so the joy and the gladness can't function in your life unless he reigns in your life. The joy and the gladness comes with total surrender. Have your way, God. Give it your best shot, God. Tell me what you want me to be and where you want me to go. I'm willing to set aside every dream. I'm willing to set aside everything I've had in my heart. I just want to serve you. I want you to be happy. It's amazing when you begin to connect with God concerning his dreams, your dreams begin to be fulfilled. When you begin to connect with God concerning his joy, your joy begins to flow. Praise God. Praise God. You want to get on board this. The 10 lepers, do you know the story of the 10 lepers? They came to Jesus, and Jesus healed all those lepers, and he sent them down to the temple to show themselves to the priest. And that one who was a Samaritan didn't go to the temple because he didn't belong to that church, and he just came back to Jesus and worshiped him. Praise God. But it's a curious thing to me. Wonder what they did on the day after. Because they had to go to the high priest, and they had to go to the temple, and there was a sacrament and a ritual there in the 14th chapter of Leviticus that had to be performed so that they could be reinstituted into society. They were cut off. They were in leper camps. They had to walk down the street going, unclean, unclean, and nobody could come around them, and their life was pretty desperate and full of despair. But on that day, they were healed of leprosy, where their limbs were maimed and eaten away, and their feet were falling apart, and now they were made whole. And they came to the temple, and I know that priest had to be just totally mystified, because up to that point there had never been anybody in Israel healed of leprosy. The priest had never had to perform Leviticus chapter 14. So they had to find the sparrow, and they had to find the cedar wood, and they had to find the fresh flowing water, and they had to look in the book and get the recipe, and they had to do. And then they did that, and then they set them on their ways, just shaking their head. My God, leprosy has been healed. They went home. Can you imagine that? People that have been gone for years and years and cut off from business and family, and they're oh, my God. Hadn't seen your daddy in 20 years. And he comes walking in the door. Hadn't seen your mommy. Hadn't seen your brother. Talk about a reunion they had. Praise God. Praise God. And you know, leprosy in the Word of God is a type of sin. It is a perfect type of sin, because leprosy is not like cancer that eats away. Leprosy is a desensitization of nerve endings beginning in your extremities. And you continually injure yourself, and that's why you begin to lose your digits and your toes and your ears and your nose, because you continually injure yourself, because you can't tell when the pot's too hot, and you can't tell when you closed your hand in the door, and you can't tell when you're turning so hard on something metal that it tears the flesh. And so once that breakdown begins, they continue to injure themselves, and the disease just begins to annihilate the body. And that's exactly what leprosy does. The devil tells you that you can handle this, or this will be okay. Just touch this, just a little bit of this. But you'll become desensitized, and it won't be long. You won't know that you're damaging yourself and injuring yourself. And sin will make you hurt yourself. Sin will make you kill yourself. You're actually, by your own will and volition, you're destroying your life. Well, that's what sin does. That's what leprosy did. These guys came home, and they're a type of revival. They're a type of people coming to Jesus and being made whole and having their lives transformed and no longer being eaten up by sin. And now where husband and wife couldn't communicate, now they can communicate over the table of common fellowship, the word of God and the presence of God, where family were breaking down and parents and children were fractured. Now lives can be put back together again. And where people had to be separated and live in places apart from their loved ones and their dreams, now they can achieve those things because of the power of God. Praise God. And I know those first days and first weeks were some excited. They were happy. They were full of gladness and full of joy. But then life takes over. And you got to go back to work. And the steady thumb of life, the steady drumbeat of life, the steady ritual of life, getting up and going to work, and the pounding of life. And if you're not careful, and if you don't apply your heart, and if you don't have something in the way of a system to offset that every day of your life, you will find yourself once again getting back down in the level of just mere human existence and the gladness and the joy that you felt in the beginning will run right out of your boot. And you'll wonder, was that ever real? Or was it just something that I imagined? Praise God. Praise God. It takes energy and proactivity and focus and diligence and discipline to maintain the joy and the gladness of God. Praise God. This little study that we're doing here is about the source of joy and the source of gladness. It begins with the cognition that God is in control. And then with the application of my will, I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to be defined by all of the negative things around me. I won't be defined by my past and by my hurts and by other people and by negative circumstance. But I'm going to be defined by the Word of God. And the Word of God said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Word of God said, it's peace that passes all understanding. And the Word of God says, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the Word of God said, it's a river of living water. And the Word of God said, with joy shall you draw forth from the wells of salvation. Well, praise God. I'm going to be defined by the Word of God, by choice, not by the trouble. And so I'll rejoice in the presence of my enemies. I'll rejoice in the presence of the pressure that's trying to corrupt the joy that's in my life. And I'm just going to tell you here, you can live for God, and I hope you do. I'll help you. I'll preach to you. I'll serve you. And if I can be your friend in the kingdom, I'll do that. But I'll tell you this, you cannot touch my joy. You will not touch my joy. You turn around. Now you got to hear this tonight. If you turn on your heel and you walk out of this house and you don't live for God, I'm still going to shout. I'm still going to praise. Because I can't give you something that doesn't belong to you. It's something that God gave me and God alone. I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of folks go. But God is still reigning. And His Word is true. Well, praise God. Thank God. I'm not going to make my joy hostage to those things that are circumstantial and negative. Praise God. You got married and you were glad for a while. You had a new baby and you were glad for a while, at least most of the time. You graduated from high school or you finally graduated from college. And that made you glad for a while. But you understand after you pass through enough of these rites of passage or crossed over enough of these thresholds in life that they will buzz you and you'll find some joy in those things for a while. But the only true and abiding and lasting depth of joy and gladness is going to come because of your experience in God. And all of those other achievements and relationships in your life, they will be of greater value and greater power in your life because of your relationship with God. Somebody that knows it to be true said, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I've got to have a relationship with God. Verse 2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. How can God be my source of joy and gladness? How can God offset the terrible conditions of my life? But I'll tell you this, I have seen it in the faces of people in third world countries that didn't have but one set of clothes, and it was on their back. I've seen it in places where people worshiped God in nipa huts and little crowded buildings. I've seen it in places where the bathroom was a dugout hole in the back room of the house. I've seen it in third world countries, and I've seen the joy of God on their faces and smiles that went from ear to ear. Praise God. I've seen joy unspeakable and gladness in a place where nobody in that whole altar service had ever heard of deodorant. But it didn't steal their joy. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, anything around you circumstantially or financially or in terms of this material world that has the power over your joy and over your gladness holds your experience with God hostage. Praise God. Praise God. It's got to be bigger and better than all of that. How can God be the source of my joy? The Bible said he lives in clouds and in darkness round about him. This is the psalmist telling us about a God that is inscrutable. The psalmist is telling us about a God whose ways are above our ways, like the heavens are. The psalmist said, I'm looking for him, but he's closed up in clouds and darkness. I can't seem to get to him. How do I get to this source of joy and gladness? He's up there in the heights and in the heavens, and his thoughts are not my thoughts, and his ways are not my ways. And one writer said he dwells in unapproachable light. How can you come before him? How can you get close to him? I'll tell you, you can't get to God by your logic. You can't get to God by an act of cognition. You can't, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Everybody say, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. What does that mean? That means that you're not going to talk yourself out of depression and out of heaviness by just talking to yourself about how good God is. And I'm telling you, he said God reigns, but you got to rejoice in order to get the gladness going. Somewhere you've got to begin to have a moving of the Spirit in your life. It's not an act of cognition. It's a function of your will tapping into the Spirit of God. I'm going to shout in it. Way. I'm going to praise anyhow. I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. Praise God. Praise God. Paul, probably as close a walk as anybody had with God, Paul said, I still see through a glass darkly. He said, I just don't understand a lot of this. I can't quite get a fix on him. I'm serving him, but it's like looking through opaque glass, and I get a little glimmer of an image on the other side. It's that God is wrapped up in clouds and thick darkness. But if you want a starting place, the last part of that verse declares that righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now, in the NIV, it reads this way, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Tonight, you won't take flight and go up to the celestial place where God is seated upon his throne. You don't have access to do that right now in your understanding. We can press in to that spiritual holy of holies tonight, but there's some places in God. Paul said it's like a glass darkly. David said his ways are above our ways. The psalmist said he's closed up in darkness and in thick clouds. But I want you to know the foundation of his throne tonight. If you want to get a start in pursuing gladness and joyfulness, the foundation of his throne are righteousness and justice. Praise God. That means I can come to the base of his throne just by pursuing righteousness. You got to get this. That means I can begin my pursuit of gladness. I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of depression weighing me down. I'm tired of nothing giving me the joy I need in life. And I'm so tired of serving God under a cloud, and I can't get myself past the repentance stage. Let me tell you something. You've got some things in your life that you've never settled. You've never laid them on an altar. You've never hung yourself on a cross like he told you to in the beginning. And your flesh keeps rising up and your natural mind keeps rebelling. But if you'll pursue him in righteousness and in justice, if you'll come to the stone that is the foundation of his throne, I want you to know the joy and the gladness are there. But you've got to pursue him in righteousness and in justice. Praise God. You don't really expect to be having a flowing experience of joy and excitement, and you've got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You don't really expect for this thing to work for you, and you're playing with sin. You don't really expect for this thing to flow like a river in your life, and you're not committed. I want you to know God is committed to you. God is committed to you, but you're not going to embrace the power of God's goodness in your life unless you embrace it with commitment. It starts with righteousness and with justice. That starts in an altar. If you want to know where it is tonight, the foundation of his throne is an altar. It's a huge block called righteousness and holiness. And all you've got to do to begin to feel better, all you got to do to begin to feel better, is to have a royal repentance experience. I would start in this house tonight. Brother Jerry, when we first met, we started teaching him Bible study. There was no way in the world that I was ever going to tell him that he didn't know God or he hadn't met God. He was attending an independent Baptist church at the time, but he had had a real and a genuine experience in repentance. Now, he needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, and he needed to receive the Holy Ghost, and he wanted the Holy Ghost, but he didn't know anything about baptism and didn't really care to get too close to that. But he knew what repentance had done. It had changed his life. Repentance had changed his life. Repentance had changed the context of his life and given him a source of joy and gladness that he had never known before. He didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. He didn't have the Holy Ghost, but there's joy in repentance, and there's a weight. Paul said, let's cast aside. The writer of Hebrews said, let's cast aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. You can't run this race with weight tied around your neck. I wish I had a 100-pound barbell in this house tonight I could put on your back and say, run. What an object lesson for us. But you can't run with joy with weights around your neck, the weight of sin and indiscretion around your neck. Let me tell you something. You can't feed at the trough of this world and then come in the house of God and expect to have joy. You can't handle those things that are not pleasing to God and expect that Holy Ghost in you to operate at maximum speed and volume. You can't really expect for that to, well, I know it's you. And I know this is America. And I know the doctrine here and the theology here is it doesn't matter what you do. But this is a Bible-believing church. And we believe it does matter what you do. And God believes that it matters what you do. And you can't live with sin in your life on a regular basis and expect to have the joy of God. We don't have joy in our home. Well, I'd start looking around my home for what wasn't like God. I don't have joy in my life. I'd start looking around in my life for what's not like God. Praise God. I don't have gladness and joy. Well, I'd start looking in the mirror and finding out how I'm talking to my brothers and my sisters and my children and my wife or my husband. Praise God. I'd start looking at my attitude and see how stinking my attitude is in regard to other people. Praise God. Come on now. You want joy? You want gladness? It's not like driving through McDonald's. It requires a change of life. Righteousness and justice are his foundation. And you've got to get that right. Praise God. Verses 3 through 5. A fire goeth before him and burns up his enemies round about. Praise God. Go, God. Anybody got any enemies? I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about old things that bug you to death and circumstances that have you trapped and things that plague your life that are spiritually born and motivated. Anybody got any of that warring against your life right now? I want you to know this God that reigns, This God that reigns, a fire goes out before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world, and the earth saw and trembled. Now we shift gears here. We shift tense here. And this is something that this writer has seen, or it's something in Israel's history. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Praise God. And I want to suggest to you that this is probably talking about Mount Sinai. This is like a central theme in the lore and in the history of Israel. And the tense here suggests something out of their history. His lightnings lit up the world, and the earth saw. The earth was shaking. That's what happened when the Spirit of God came down on Sinai, and it was clothed with that clouds and that thick darkness. And Moses walked right up the mountain in the face into the maw of that cloudy covering, and the lightning was going everywhere. And Israel was back off a few miles away, and they were just watching that little speck go up that mountain and disappear into that cloud where God was. The lightnings lit up the world, and the earth saw, and the whole mountainside and all the valley there where they were standing was trembling, and the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. And the power of God was demonstrated in that moment on Sinai, and God overshadowed, God brooded over that mountain, and God was giving them a demonstration of his power and of his might, and they were seeing this mighty display in nature. Praise God. God's showing off. God's revealing himself. And nobody's fooling around. Everybody's watching that. Because God has come down in their midst. And there's a storm on top of that mountain, and the rocks are being rent in pieces. Moses is walking right up in the middle of that. And with all that power, and with all of that glory, and with all of that energy that was being released there, God gave Moses what he considered to be the most powerful and the most influential and the most needful thing for this people. And Moses came walking, and I mean, if you were down there, what would you expect Moses to walk down with? How would you expect Moses to be after he came out of that tempest of the presence of God? Moses comes walking down out of that cloud, and he's got the word of God, and he's got anointing. Praise God. And that's all. He's got the word of God, and he's got anointing. And that's the most powerful thing that God could give him. This writer is taking us on a little journey here. God reigns. Rejoice and be glad. And then he begins to tell us how inscrutable God is and how hard it is to get into the presence of God. But it begins with righteousness and with judgment. And then he shows us a picture that may not seem to have any relation to the text or to the narrative. But he said there was a time in our history when a man mighty among us went up into a cloud, and the lightnings lit up the whole world, and the whole earth was shaking. And when that man came down out of there, he had the word of God and an anointing in his life. Can I tell you, what we're seeing is a sequential analysis of what it takes to have joy and rejoicing in your life. You're going to have to pursue righteousness, and you're going to have to pursue the word of God. Usted necesita la Biblia en su corazón. Traduzca usted.
I need the Bible in my heart.
Yeah. Solamente el verbo de Dios.
Only the
verbo. Uh-oh. He can't translate because I'm not speaking good Spanish. Oh, well. Help me, Oswald. Praise God. Got to have the word of God in my life. Well, I go to church on Sunday morning. You won't have joy and gladness like that. Well, I go, I got my name on the roll there. That won't get you joy and gladness. The only thing that's going to get you joy and gladness. You know what we do every Monday afternoon with these guys? Every Monday afternoon at Buongiorno's, from the dawn of time, it has been this way. Lo, many, many years have passed. But we have Bible study every Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock, más o menos. Yeah, and Martine makes me a big cup of coffee that would curl my hair if I had any. And we open up the Bible study. And we went through all the Bible study for Oswaldo. And when Augustine came, we opened up the Bible study again. And we went all the way through the Bible study again. And then when Martine came, we went all the way through the Bible study again. And now we're going all the way through both levels of the growth class. And it's Word of God, 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 and it's... Brother Wynn Drost is an apostle. Started churches, was born in Madrid, Spain. His mom and dad then moved to Ecuador, and he was a part of a missionary family in Ecuador. And then as he became an adult and took on the role of a missionary himself, he started churches all up through Central America. He and Sister Dross built churches and Bible colleges and preachers, and probably thousands of people are living for God today in El Salvador and in Guatemala and all through Central America and Mexico because of the ministry of this man. He is an apostle. They were in El Salvador during the war years. They had people running across their roofs and throwing grenades and firefights out in the street in front of their house. And he's had his She's for Christ missionary vehicle stolen from him on a couple of occasions. The terrorist gets in one side with a gun and he goes out the other side and leaves the vehicle with the terrorist. So these are people that have hazarded their lives for the kingdom of God. So we brought him in, and you remember last time Brother Dross was here preaching, and Stephen, his son, was here translating for him, and we had wonderful church. But I thought, I'll bring him in to talk to our theology classes on Sunday morning at 7:30 and at 8:30. I'll bring this apostle in, the man that's built churches, and thousands of people are living for God, and he's seen the dead raised to life, and he's preached in all kinds of venues and powerful in the Word of God. And I brought him in, and I thought, he's going to tell something to these young guys. He's got something to say to these men. And so he pulls up at the end of the table at the 7:30 class, and here's the crux of his message: pray and read your Bible. Moses just came down off the top of the mountain, out of the cloud, the lightning, the whole earth is shaking. He comes down and his head is glowing like a 100-watt bulb. They had to put a bag on Moses' head. And they thought, he's going to really tell us something impressive. And he says, pray and read your Bible. Now, he elaborated a little bit. He opened up a little bit. But after he left, all he had said was, pray and read your Bible. Living for God is not hard. It's not difficult. It's very simple. The hard part comes in implementation. But pray. Breathe in and breathe out. Stay alive. You're breathing the noxious fumes of this world every day of your life. You're breathing the fetid breath of this world every time you go on the job or in your school. You're inhaling every noxious spirit around you. If you don't have a living, breathing prayer life, and you're not in this prayer room, and you're not in this altar, and you're casual about the things of the Spirit, and then you come to me and say, I'm not happy with my marriage, and I'm not happy with my children, and I'm not happy with my job. Let me tell you, happy doesn't have anything to do with people around you or the job. I'm telling you, joy and rejoicing and gladness have to do with how closely tethered I am to God. If I'm breathing in and breathing out the rarefied essence and spirit of God, that's the source of gladness, and that's the source of joy. Praise God. Could you clap your hands unto him and lift your hands and just begin to praise him a little bit here tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's take a minute. If you need to repent of active sin in your life, I want you to do that right now. Praise God. Come on, let's press into this a little bit. This is not perfunctory. This is a workshop. Let's press in. Mighty God, worthy God. Oh, I magnify you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want him to come down, and I want him to sow light into my soul. I want him to sow gladness into my soul. It's going to be predicated on my experience in the Word of God and my responsiveness concerning righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language just flow through your vessel here for a little bit tonight. New life, I believe God is about to raise this house and this people to a new level of experience and glory in the kingdom of God. I really believe that. I'm feeling that move in this house tonight. But he's looking for somebody that can take on, shoulder up under the load of the work of God and not be a murmurer and a complainer, but be somebody that says, God, stack me up. Lay it on me. I take joy. I find joy. Joy in the house of God. I find gladness in my experience in God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All you got to do is step outside and take a look up. And when you see the stars, Brother Jerry, I would send you out. I don't guess I will, but you reckon if you stepped out in the parking lot tonight, the moon and the stars are in their place? You think anybody's moved them during the day? Okay. You know what that means? That means God is right. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. I want you to get outside, and we've touched on this a couple of times in the last, it's been a theme for us the last few weeks, but God takes Abram outside his tent, outside his small human construct, outside the limitations of his natural dwelling, outside under the canopy of stars, so that he can see the multitude and the power of God's promise for his life. Because you can't see it in your little construct. You're living in a little mud hut of despair and angst and worry, and you're troubled about things on the job and things in the house and things in your spirit and things that go bump at night, and you're worried and you're troubled. Could you stop for a minute? You've built yourself a little house there that's full of restrictions and problems. Could you just come outside with me for a little bit, and let's just look up, and my God, far as I can see, billions of stars and millions of galaxies, and they hadn't counted them all yet, but they've recently discovered that they're all accelerating and traveling at this incredible rate of speed. The whole place is expanding beyond measure. Where is it going? What's out there on the other side of the universe? I mean, where do you put all that stuff if it's still expanding? That means there's something. My brain already reached this limit. I'm out beyond. But all of it's going out where there never was anything before. Or maybe it's all full out there too, and it's all expanding. Then they talk about multiple universes. And I can't think that far, says Shirley. I can't think out that far. But it gives me a tremendous sense that God is in control. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let me ask you this. Do you think your little life and your little problems dictate what is true? Do you think you, as a little cosmic speck, on a little cosmic speck, in a little remote part of a galaxy that in itself is just a little tiny, tiny speck in the universe? And I mean, we can't even see you down there. We can barely hear you. My life determines all that is real and true. Oh, despair, all who hear my words. Life is not worth living. There is no hope. There is no joy. Darkness covers all. If I had a falsetto voice, I'd be doing it in that, but I don't have one anymore. You're just a little cosmic speck. You think you determine what is true and real? Come step outside your little cosmic speck of a house, your little closed-in mentality and your little dreams and the restrictive things that have pressured you in your life. Step out here and look out. As far as you can see, everything is exactly where he put it by the power of his word. Everything is exactly as he designed it. It's all moving and functioning according to the plan and the word of God. I don't know what that does to you, but it makes me go home and sleep like a baby. It makes me wake up in the morning and I don't have to go out. How many of you are going to get up in the morning and go, oh, boy, there it comes. Sun came up. I was really worried about that today, you know. You know how things are going, and it just today might not come up. It's 12 o'clock noon, and it's pitch black outside. You're going to do that, Brother Richard? You're not going to do that? Why? Do you believe in God, or are you just habituated that the sun comes up? He put all that stuff out there to tell you there's something out beyond your little life. There's something out beyond your little hovel. There's something out beyond your little restricted experience that is stable and powerful, and God is the doer and the maker of it, and whatever he says is true, and the people see his glory. Let's stand together. I'm going to quit. I left you about 20 minutes ago. Or you left me. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, look up. He's right. God's right. Praise God. Now, if you want to write a song, I can guarantee you it won't be a bestseller. But you don't want to say, don't worry, be happy. You might want to say, look up. Be happy. You might want to say, God reigns. Be glad and rejoice. Praise God. Praise God. I want us all, if we could, if you're a visitor, please make yourself at home tonight. But I'd like for us all to come down around the altar tonight. If you've got sin, active sin in your life, you need to repent of that tonight. If your prayer life is on the rocks, you got to hear this. Your joy is tied to that. Another $100,000 a year won't make you happy. No, see, that bounced right off your head and came right back at me. You think you'd like to try that? I was talking to a gentleman this week, and he said at the funeral they had pictures of this young man's life. Young man in his early 20s, maybe his late teens. He was just a young adult. Family was very successful. Had everything. All the pictures showed him riding in speedboats, having fun with all his friends, big smiles, down at the lake, motorcycles, nice cars, you know, just like a tour of everything every young person would like to have as a part of their life. All of the things that you think would make you glad. Kid never had a a need in his life in the physical. But they were having a funeral because he took his own life. Because sitting in a place of plenty and affluence, he didn't have anything to live for. He had no gladness and he had no joy. Because here's the tip of that poison dart. When you get it all, and all is not enough, where do you go from there? When you're still climbing the ladder, you're thinking, when I get that next, when I have that next, when I become that next, God reigns. Be glad. Praise God. Praise God. Sin's dragging your joy down. You need to repent of that sin tonight. Somebody needs to make a commitment. Come on now. If an alcoholic doesn't miss a day of drink, how can an apostolic miss a day of prayer? Somebody needs to make a commitment to God in this altar tonight and step up to the altar and keep that commitment. Praise God. Somebody needs to get their face in the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be the key to your gladness. Somebody needs to be refilled with the Holy Ghost tonight. You got to have a moving of the Spirit. He's got to be Lord over your life. Come on, whatever your need is tonight, wherever this Word is moving in your life, I want you to begin to praise and pray and seek and commit tonight. In Jesus' name, come on. Praise God. As you're standing there and as you're pressing in, lay your hand on somebody, take somebody's hand. God. Would you turn to somebody right now and call them by name, lay your hands on them, tell them, I'm going to pray for you that gladness will break forth in your life. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you that a river of living water flow up out of your life. Anointing, blessing, strength, goodness, oh God. praise God. Let's clap our hands, lift up a voice of praise. Magnify him here a little bit. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we put a lot of energy into this, a lot of time. We might as well have everything that it offers. It is a crying shame for you to be a part of an apostolic church and not walk in the joy of God. Praise God. God bless you. There's prayer tomorrow night. There's a singles meeting in the conference room right after church tonight. And the drama team is meeting in the prayer room. If there's somebody here you don't know, you need to go and meet somebody new tonight before you leave the house. You need to go and get their name and get to meet them. There's a youth Bible study at Smoothie Joe's Monday night. What time, Marcus? 7? 7 o'clock. There's prayer here at the church tomorrow night at 7. Praise God. If I could have the same young men that helped me this morning to get that box of flyers out to the back door so folks can pick them up and go and hang these flyers in their neighborhood. Praise God. Oh, we have an elders meeting in the prayer room also. Elders team meeting.